One of my favorite poems is, "I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk to dream and to build, to fail and succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creations, and face the world boldly and say, this is I have done, and this is what it means to be an American," by Dean Alfangi. Know the truth, and only the truth shall make you free. This is the Truth to Liberty podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Alan Unruh. Hello, I'm Dr. Alan Unruh from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the land of variety, the Sunshine State, the only state that shoots its state bird. So I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to ask some profound questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the purpose of life? What's right about America? You know, we hear so much bad about our country. I think it's time to talk about what's right about America. There's got to be some reason why people from 150 countries will sacrifice everything they have to come to our country. They'll sell their kids to a drug cartels for one chance to live in freedom. They come from all over the world. They'll sell everything they have. They're not trying to get into North Korea. They're not trying to get into Red China or Southeast Asia or anywhere else. They all want to come to America. And there's a reason for it. You know, when President Obama got elected, he went on a tour, and they asked him about American exceptionalism. Do you believe America is an exceptional country? And he said, well, no more than France believes France is exceptional, or England believes England is exceptional, or any other country. They all think they're exceptional. In other words, we're just another country. But I want to tell you the difference, why everyone wants to come here and nowhere else. You know, when our forefathers first fled Europe, old King George put out a decree, if you don't believe like the King of England, you were put in prison. Some were tortured. Some were burned alive at the stake. What led to Western civilization? John Tyndale, who interpreted the scripture into English, they tied him to a stake and strangled him, burned his body, buried it. 40 years later, they dug it up and burned it again. John Huss, his follower, they burned him alive at the stake. The last words of Joan of Arc, when they burned her alive at Notre Dame at the age of 12 because she wouldn't recant, she said, "Would you please raise the cross higher so I can see it through the flames?" Yes, Western civilization took many martyrs because of revival, a spiritual revival that swept Europe. But before we became a country, all countries on earth were run by kings and queens and monarchs and dictators and tyrants. And it was a bloodbath. We're the only country where people can govern themselves. We're the only country built on a creed, one nation under God, built on a Judeo-Christian ethic. And it started with nothing. In fact, the first 9,000 that came here, most of them starved to death. Many were slaughtered. They kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, because the alternative was being burned alive or tortured in England. They came because they had a higher purpose, because the Judeo-Christian principles of worshiping God was more important than life itself. The first legal document in America, the Mayflower Compact, the first sentence of the first legal document was, "In the name of God, amen." They wanted a place where they could worship no matter what the price. They could have religious freedom. They could freedom to follow their conscience. And you know, if there's only been 6,000 years of recorded history since the beginning of time, 6,000 years. That means if everyone lived to be 100 years old, that's only 60 lifetimes of recorded history since the beginning of man. 60 lifetimes. Now, if someone invented a time machine to condense those 6,000 years into 24 hours, it would mean we've only been a country for 3.5 seconds. But in those 3.5 seconds, within 200 years, over 50% of the wealth of the entire world occurred in America. 90% of mankind's inventions and discoveries occurred here. Why, our forefathers came with nothing. Nothing but merchants and farmers and tradesmen. They built the greatest land the world has ever known. 50% of the wealth of the world in a little tiny country of 3 million people. We accomplished more in 200 years than the previous 6,000 years combined. Why did that happen here? How come it didn't happen anywhere else? We're the only nation built on a creed, one nation under God. What is liberty? You know, liberty is really a spiritual concept. We confuse the word freedom with liberty, but there's a profound difference. A buffalo is free to roam the open fields, but a buffalo doesn't have liberty, because liberty is spiritual. Our forefathers believed all mankind was created in the image of God himself, our creator. Our Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths to be self-evident, which means any idiot should understand it, that all men are created equal, all mankind. And they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. I ask college kids what unalienable mean. God-given rights, among which are life. The first right is the right to life. Hard to work or worry about other issues if you're not alive. Liberty. And liberty is a spiritual concept. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And the pursuit of happiness. In other words, the government won't hand it to you on a silver platter. You got to go after it. So the whole thing is a spiritual idea. We're created in the image of Almighty God, slightly less than the angels, with the ability to dream and to build and create and to serve our fellow man and to develop our God-given talents if we live under liberty. What does the Liberty Bell say? Most people don't know. It says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof." Leviticus 25:10. It's all spiritual. It's an idea and an ideal. Our forefathers came to worship God without interruption. They fled a country that demanded you serve one religion. But Christianity is what caused them to flee, where we worship one God, and our government officially recognizes that we're all created in the image of Almighty God to govern ourselves. James Madison, the chief architect of the Constitution, said, "If we let people govern themselves, they could rape, rob, and murder each other." John Adams says, yes, liberty without virtue is madness. Liberty requires two things, a virtuous society and individual responsibility. Without those two things, liberty doesn't work. But if we let people dream and build themselves and serve their fellow man and worship Almighty God without persecution, it's an experiment that's worth trying. And it wasn't long. They were starving to death, but Governor Bradford read the parable of the talent in the scripture. If you use your God-given talent, God will give you another one. If you use five talents, he'll give you five more. And so he gave everyone a plot of land, and whatever you grow on your own land, you get to keep. Wow, we get to keep the fruits of our own labor. That's a great idea. Because some people are lazy, and some people are industrious, and some people are hard workers. So with the combine the principles of capitalism with the principles of religious liberty, the perfect combination. It wasn't long. They took the electricity out of the clouds, the oil out of the rock, the aluminum out of the clay. They had rivers to be bridged and cities to be built and mountains to be trailed. Why, we built the greatest land the world ever dreamed of. We split the atom, the tiniest particle in the universe. We conquered space. Invented the automobile, the train, it's unbelievable, the farm equipment, the steam engine. 90% of mankind's inventions and discovery occurred here. In a little tiny country with 3 million people. 13 colonies. Fought the largest army in the world. They lost 75% of the battles. Only 9% of the people fought in the Revolutionary War. By the providence of Almighty God, we became a country. We have the ability to form our own country. And our forefathers, we have four presidents on Mount Rushmore. Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence almost single-handedly at the age of 36. He just didn't sit down on a Thursday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon and write the words, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They studied the history of the world, and they wanted a government where people would be free, where they'd have the liberty to make their own decisions, to dream their own dreams, to build their own family, to serve God to the highest of their talents and ability. And so we became a country that is the greatest place in the history of the world. But now people are being indoctrinated to hate America, to think the forefathers didn't know what they were doing. We have four presidents on Mount Rushmore. Abraham Lincoln said, nobody should have the freedom to do what's morally wrong. Jefferson said, the first duty of government is to protect innocent human life. It's the only legitimate function of good government. George Washington said, it's impossible to govern without God and the Bible. And Franklin Roosevelt said, we have the choice now between preserving our Christian heritage or reverting back to barbaric paganism. That's the choice we have today. What a difference in worldview of what's permeating our culture today. As the family goes, so goes the nation. The family, the most basic unit of government, where father and mother raise their kids to the best of their ability to become two things, to develop their character and help make them self-reliant. That's the purpose of parenting. But today, that's been lacking. One of the first acts of the new Congress was to print hundreds of thousands of Bibles. So they have prevalent use of the scripture throughout the land. Separation church and state. Thomas Jefferson said, we believe there should be a wall of separation, but that was to a letter by the Danbury Baptist Church. The separation church and state is nowhere in the First Amendment. It means to protect religious liberty from government intrusion, not government should restrict all religious activity. George Washington said, of all the dispositions that maintain good government, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Professor Christensen from Harvard. Harvard was developed by John Harvard for one reason, to study the life of Jesus Christ. 50% of the graduating class of Harvard University when it was built were ministers of the gospel. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they were all studying search for truth and to study the life of Christ. Now they can't even mention his name. Kids can learn to be just as fine a communist going to the University of South Dakota as going to the University of Moscow. It all depends what they learn. And many have to unlearn what they've learned because they're selling their own future down the drain. The purpose of life to many now is just to pursue pleasure, not to serve a higher cause. The pursuit of happiness, well, what is happiness? Happiness is not found in doing what you like. It's having the right to do what you ought, said Lord Acton. It's realizing a purpose higher than your own self-interest. It's serving others. It's making a difference in their life. That's where true happiness comes. It makes a difference in people's lives for the better. See, a baby only needs two things, nourishment and love. That's all they need, and they can grow up to be anything. Why, we can create another Michelangelo, another Beethoven, he wrote his greatest symphonies after he became blind and deaf. Human life can be, our greatest resource is human life. We're throwing the image of Almighty God in the garbage and protecting animals. Now, all God's creatures are created by him. He created the beasts of the fields, the fowl in the air, the fish in the sea, but he created man in his own image. And the greatest resource we have is human beings. All they need is love. On love hangs the whole law. So what's happened to that? What's happened to our country and our culture when today people are following a foreign ideology? See, a guy by the name of George Hegel in the early 1800s, he was a passionate philosopher. And he said, there's no God. Why, man's his own, everyone's their own God. Man's always tried to play God. And God doesn't exist. There's no such thing. And in other words, everything created itself. And along comes, if there's no God, there can't be any truth, said Feuerbach, another philosopher. If there's no truth, why, everyone can make up their own truth. If there's no God, in other words, like the college professor said, there's no truth, there's no absolutes, nothing is for sure. And a student said, are you sure about that? He said, absolutely. He said, what you just said, true? He said, yes. He said, well, you just said there was no such thing as truth. So what you just said was a lie. So this professor had his feet planted firmly in midair. He has what's known as paralysis of the analysis. He's educated beyond his intelligence. He said what I call a constipation of the cerebrum. He asked the average person, what's your philosophy of life? And they kind of give you a blank stare. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, honk if you believe in anything. And that's the problem today. It's not that atheists believe in nothing. It's that they believe in anything, said G.K. Chesterton. And Voltaire, the philosopher, charismatic philosopher, he said, if you can convince man to believe in absurdities, they will commit atrocities. France followed the philosophy of Voltaire, and the French Revolution was a bloodbath. America followed a Judeo-Christian ethic where people could govern themselves. And she created the greatest world, the greatest country the world has ever dreamed of. And if there wasn't any God, I guess there wouldn't be any atheists. Could be nothing not to believe in. That's what C.S. Lewis said. I didn't believe in God, but I was mad at him for not existing until he got converted and realized there's a much higher purpose in life. And that's to serve our fellow man. He who wants to be a leader must be a servant of all. You know, God wants 10%. The waitress wants 20%. The government wants 50. Well, if everyone just sends their money to us, we'll save the planet. Yeah, if you believe that, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you. Everything today is about power and control. Lord Acton said power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You name the issue, government has a solution. Government doesn't see the problem because they are the problem. So we need to start assessing, what is the purpose of life? Are we here to serve the state, or is state here to serve us? And depends on who is in charge, how much liberty they want to take from you and I. We have to develop a philosophy that makes sense. Someone said we need a national outbreak of common sense. When the government says we own the kids, we'll teach them what we want. If you believe in Christianity, we believe now in no moral restraints. See, so when Hegel said there's no God, Feuerbach said there's no truth, Darwin said, well, we must have all came from the slime. In other words, it'd be like we evolved over trillions of years. Well, it's kind of like a tornado went through a junkyard, and out comes a 747, all fully gassed, ready to fly. Everything just happened. We're supposed to believe it's absurd that a loving God created the heavens and the earth and all the inhabitants thereof. That's too absurd. But on the other hand, we're supposed to believe that nothing created everything. It just appeared out of nowhere by itself. Does that make more sense? It doesn't to me. I'd rather believe we're created in the image of Almighty God, with the ability to dream and to build and create and serve our fellow man. That's where true happiness and joy come from, rather than shallow pleasure where people dedicate their lives just to living for the next pleasure moment. There's much more to life. The truth is, happiness is not found in doing what you like. It's having the right to do what you want. It's realizing a higher purpose. Well, Freud came along. Darwin said we came from the slime. Karl Marx said it's not fair. All there is materialism. It's not fair that some have more than others. So 40 million more people got slaughtered because of his philosophy. Someone said his mother said if Carl, instead of writing about money, ever made it, he'd have a different philosophy. But kids are learning to divide wealth. You can't multiply wealth by dividing it. You can't spend your way into prosperity any more than you can drink your way into sobriety. It's like standing in a bucket trying to pull yourself up from the handle. It doesn't work. It's like taking a bucket of water from the deep side of the swimming pool and pouring it into the shallow side. It doesn't work. See, equality always meant one thing. Equality of opportunity. If you live in liberty, you can be anything you want, no matter how you were born. Dr. Ben Carson, his mother made him go to the library a few blocks away after she got a job, her third job, trying to feed him, working in a gated community. And the guy had thousands of books. She said, you read all these books? He said, yeah, I read most of them. She slammed the TV on when she went home. You guys are going to start reading books. And they bellyached like everything at first. But she made him give him book reports twice a week. She didn't know how to read herself. One becomes an engineer, the other a world's most famous brain surgeon, because they learned. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, it says in the scripture. But we're lack of wisdom. Applied knowledge is wisdom. how can we serve our fellow man? Well, Freud comes along after Karl Marx. He said, what's the purpose to life? Well, it's got to be sexual gratification. We only live for one thing. So we want sexual gratification with no moral restraints. That ruins our fun. So that's what we became, this pursuit of pleasure, for pleasure's sake. Why sexuality is just a recreational sport. And we don't want any moral restrictions whatsoever. And if you believe in them, you're a bigot. You're a right-wing extremist. Why, you actually want to raise kids to be responsible and raise their kids and preserve the traditional family? That's out of date. Even though socialism has never worked anywhere in the world, and it's been a bloodbath, America, the freest, greatest country, the place where people from 150 countries want to come, is becoming what we fled. The land of the free and home of the brave. Our forefathers fought, bled, and died. We got a new people in office now. Never lifted a finger to earn freedom, a finger to defend it ever in their life. Are denigrated liberty to save their own power. You belong to the state. The only purpose is to serve the state. But the people who fled here, their only purpose was to serve Almighty God. And it was more valuable than life itself. I'm just going to close with a brief story of the world's most famous violinist. Going to play a $3.5 million Stradivarius in Carnegie Hall. He dressed up like a bum in the morning with t-shirt and torn blue jeans and played his violin at Grand Central Station, and everybody walked by. Hardly anybody stopped to listen. Some kids pulled the sleeve of their parents to listen a little bit, not knowing the cheapest ticket to hear him that night was $150. He made $3.38 tip. People didn't know they were in the presence of the world's most famous violinist. Well, that night when it came time to play his solo, you could hear a pin drop in the auditorium. And the crowd jumped to their feet in thunderous applause. But they were aghast at what happened next. He took the violin and he smashed it over the podium into a dozen pieces. And he said, went to the mic and said, ladies and gentlemen, the violin I destroyed was not the Stradivarius. It was just a $200 cheapie. So now I'm going to play the same song on the Stradivarius. So he did, and you could hear a pin drop again. Again, a thunderous applause, but they were perplexed, because it sounded the same. He said, ladies and gentlemen, the reason you couldn't tell the difference is because the music is not in the instrument. The music is in me. And it's in you and you and you. Because you live in America, you have the ability to develop your talent. The greatest books hadn't been written. The greatest songs haven't been sung. They're inside of you. You live in a free country. You live in a free country where you can develop your talents. You live in America. And that principle is worth fighting for. So that's my challenge to you, to think, to dream, to build, to become what God created you to be. To not be silenced by people who don't agree. America's about ideas and ideals, and to share that message with everyone you see and meet, especially young people. Teach them right from wrong, the Ten Commandments. If you love me, you follow my commandments. We have 10 million laws. If people followed 10, we'd be a lot better country. So that's something to think about. Those are my thoughts for today. It's Dr. Alan Underwood.
You've been listening to Truth to Liberty Podcast with your host, Dr. Alan Unruh. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thank you for listening, and learn more at alanunruh.com.